Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And today we're joined by Heidi Dove. Heidi, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Heidi is the founder and director of Village to Village, a local nonprofit, and we'll get into that. But Heidi, I know you've been on Hope Talks or Front Porch Talks previously before, but it's been a while, so just give us a little background about where you're from and a little bit about how you grew up.
Sure. My dad was the pastor here many, many years ago. I was in middle school, and Pastor Carey was actually my youth leader, and it just full circle. I worked for him for about 20 years here at the church, and this is really where Village to Village got its start and my ministry got its start.
It's crazy how things come full circle. I know my mom and dad is newlywed 19-year-olds came to this church really to get my grandmother off their back. And the second Sunday here, they came back to Christ under your dad's ministry.
They did.
There is a rich heritage and tapestry of relationship in this community. And it's amazing to see how God just weaves all of the stories together. And when we have a passion, like you've had a passion for reaching those who... You've just had a passion for reaching those that have less than.
Right.
And I remember when you came up with the slogan, live simply so others can simply live, right? Mm-hmm. I got that right, right?
I think she said that on a trip to Guatemala.
Yes. Some things do stick. So, Heidi, why don't you go back and talk about just where this passion came from to begin the ministry that you have?
Well, I think it probably actually started as a child in Florida. My dad was a pastor, and we very frequently had missionaries in our home. And so I learned really young what they did and about the people that they ministered to, and started going on mission trips as a teenager. And, you know, through the church here, just being in ministry and seeing the needs of people through Kids Harbor, through the student ministry. And it just has always drawn me for people that may not know him or may not have what we have. We take things for granted so much. And I think my love just started by having missionaries in our home and realizing they gave up pretty much everything, especially back then, to go to another country and live their lives and try to make a difference. So yeah. I think that's probably where it started. And it just grew out of experiences and jobs and churches and friendships.
Yeah. So I remember the first year of Kids Harbor, because Sydney attended and I volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those days and actually have relationship with some of the people that were in that group. And we think back to that and have fond memories. And I think about how you ministered to our children, you know. And so you've all just had a heart to minister. And the one thing that maybe has changed a little bit over the years is missionaries needed to leave to go to another country. And now there's many opportunities right where we live. The nations have come to us. Mm-hmm. And I know that you always cared about people having served locally before they would go on a mission trip. Am I right about that?
Yes.
You felt pretty passionate about that. If we're not going to serve where we're at, are we ready to go somewhere else? Mm-hmm. And so that really impacted me. And so I know that when you all started Village to Village, you were going elsewhere and still do. But tell us a little bit about that and then how things maybe changed as the years have gone by and we, you know, experienced COVID and all the things.
Well, and I think first thing I would say to people in general, don't ever discount what you are doing right now.
Yeah.
The job that you're doing, being a mom, whatever it is, because every job that I've ever had, whether it was outside the church or in the church, prepared me for what I'm doing now. Not all of them were fun, but they absolutely had purpose in what I do now. And so we started going to Guatemala and just realized that the difference in the way they did ministry is you stay long term as far as connecting with those people. You don't go and come home and never go back.
Right.
You connect long term. And what we do internationally is super important. We try to get them to self-sufficiency. And to do that, you just have to know who they are. Locally, we realized we had to have a presence here because it's kind of the same thing. How do we minister internationally if we're not doing anything locally? Yeah. So as a board, we really looked at what can we do locally that kind of mirrors what we do internationally, and that's why we landed on refugees, because the whole goal for new refugees to the States is to get them to self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
We want them to get jobs. We want them to get into the school system, and we want them to be part of the community, not just move here and feel like they're always out of place.
Yeah.
And, you know, the prayer, when you said about the nations coming to us, pre-COVID, I started praying 1 Chronicles 4:10. And I'm going to put it in words the way that I pray it for Village to Village. Oh, that you would bless Village to Village indeed and enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us. At the time I prayed it, my assumption was he was going to open up more countries. What I didn't know is he was getting ready to shut everything down and the countries were going to start coming to us. And, you know, that prayer, we still pray that. But the year when Ukraine had the war, and when Afghanistan, all that happened there, we were doing 4 move-ins a week and getting hundreds and hundreds of families. We didn't need to go outside. Now, we still support our people, and we have started doing trips again now, but for 2 years, we didn't leave the country, but we were doing just as much ministry to our neighbors.
And you were prepared, like you had the foundation of ministry. When you think about enlarging your territory, you think that it's going to be a broader reach of going. And it was, but it was here. And so how has those partnerships, I know that you all work with Church World Services and have a partnership there. Tell us about that partnership.
So Church World Services, our local refugee resettlement agency. Village to Village has never gone into a country or even locally without a presence that already understands what's going on. We don't just go try to figure out what people need. We want to know that we have people we can trust. So for us, that is CWS. And so what they do is when families come in, they are responsible to get their housing, their education, their jobs, teaching them finances. They do all the stuff. Village to Village simply steps in to set up their homes. But the reason that is so important is the government gives them a super small stipend. And the government also gives a list of things that have to be in that home. So Village to Village collects those items from the community. Most of them are gently used items. We have a warehouse. We collect all those items and are able to set up those homes. If we are not able to place dishes in a home, it comes out of that refugee's stipend. And that's really hard when they're paying down payments and rent and utilities and, you know, so the community has gone above and beyond to provide items that we can place in these homes. So it's not a hardship on the refugees.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I just think it's so important that we have community relationships, like that we work together outside, you know, partnering with other nonprofits, with whoever to make it successful for the people we're helping. Heidi, could you talk to us a little bit about, you know, not every agency that we work with has the very same set of beliefs that we have, but it's still an important partnership. We're being Christ to whoever we're partnering with, right? We're doing it, like I said, for the good of the people. It's not about us. But can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. And we have pushback on this. But Church World Service is not a Christian organization. They are a government organization. Yeah. I don't think that's how they started out, but as they grew, they became more of a government agency. When you work with the government, there are very strict guidelines.
Absolutely.
And if Church World Service doesn't follow them or their partners do not follow them, they can get shut down. So we chose Church World Service because they have that in for these refugees coming.
Yes.
There's no way we could facilitate helping all the refugees we help without Church World Service. Now, we are not able to go in and put Christian material yeah. in. We don't meet the families most of the times, but every home we set up is prayed over
yeah.
because we can do that. And regardless of the guidelines that we kind of have to follow, God is still doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of some of those relationships, we just held a camp and we had four unaccompanied minors attend our camp. And that's probably the first time they've ever heard anything about God. And it was because that relationship had been made and it was outside of Church World Service. But mm-hmm. you have to be intentional. You know, Jesus did not just talk to people that were like him.
So true.
You know, and for us, it's not just about the refugee families. What are we investing in Church World Service and in
yeah.
their team? And there's a lot of their team that love Jesus. It's just, it's a guideline that we have to be very careful about. Mm-hmm. At Christmas, we do a huge push where every refugee that has moved here gets a coat and warm clothes and they get a toy. It's not called a Christmas event because some of them don't celebrate Christmas,
yeah.
but it gives us the personal opportunity to knock on their door and welcome them to the community.
Yeah.
Now, again, we can't take Christian items with us, but you can start building a relationship.
Yeah.
And once you start building that relationship and it's intentional, once they're out of a certain amount of time,
yeah.
we're able to invite them to church. We're
yeah.
able, but you have to be willing to stay the course.
You have to make the investment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, what would it look like if Church World Services was not a part of the picture? Would you still be able to connect with the refugees? They are
not
your connector, right?
Yeah, they are. Part of the reason is, like I said earlier, we only work with organizations that know what is going on, that know what the needs are.
Yeah.
The refugees that come through CWS have been vetted. They're here legally.
Yeah.
We know about them. If I were to open up Village to Village to anybody, we would never be able to facilitate the needs of the community.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of backlash because we don't help the homeless or we don't help. And what my response is, first of all, are you helping those people
yeah.
that you're concerned about?
Right.
But we also have a great community and there's
yeah.
other people that are doing that.
Yeah.
And so just
yeah.
because Village to Village is focused on refugees, it doesn't mean that we don't care about other people,
right.
but we know there's other organizations right. that are stepping in.
Yeah.
And that also doesn't mean that we won't occasionally reach out and be like, what do you need? How
yeah.
can we help you?
Right.
But we have to stay focused on something or we can't do ministry.
Yeah. You can't right. be all things to all people.
No.
But you're doing a great job helping. I think you found a niche that wasn't being met. Like
mm-hmm.
you said, there's other organizations helping, like the homeless
mm-hmm.
and other things like that. And I think back, talking about Church World Services and your partnership with them, I think about how you got connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
It was through the mission partnership lunch that we used to do here
mm-hmm.
at the church, I believe.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And I also think about, you're talking about doing move-ins and praying over the houses. I remember, I think it was back during COVID, helping with a move-in through Village to Village in my neighborhood. And I don't know if that family still lives there or not. Probably not. But I remember early on, especially every time I would walk in the neighborhood, I started walking during COVID, praying over that house and that family. And
mm-hmm.
I didn't know who they were, but I knew what we had set it up for.
Yes.
So I think it was a single mom with four kids.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's amazing. I just remember going to Church World Services and having an initial meeting.
I think we did prior to us even, because it took us a couple years to get connected.
Oh, yeah.
So
that
I
was
think
long
that
ago.
Had happened a really long time. And then
yeah.
a new person took over and somehow we had that same conversation and they're like, well, yes, we would like to,
yeah.
you know.
So it is true that there are so many different organizations in our community that have their niche. You know, here we have food and we have clothing, we have furniture, and every church has a different impact on the community as they figure out what's right for them and every nonprofit. And it takes everyone. It takes everyone.
Yeah, what's new with Village to Village, Heidi? Recently, y'all had a pretty big move, so if you'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, so probably 5 years ago, Village to Village really had a vision for owning a business. We weren't sure what that looked like, whether it was an Airbnb, whether it was an apartment complex, because eventually we would like to do transitional housing for refugees, but we weren't sure. But we knew our long-term goal was that a business would pay our day-to-day expenses, so 100% of donations would go directly to families, which most nonprofits, that's not what they do. You raise money to pay your staff as well as do ministry, but that's not really what we wanted. So a couple months ago, Bargain Hive came up that they were closing and possibly for sale. And we started having conversation and just praying through the process of, is this what God would have us do? And I could probably write a book on the day-to-day details that God worked out. Mm. One day we're like, nope, it's out of our reach. And the next day God would place something that is like, nope, keep going and keep trying. And through a very, very long process in July, the end of July, we will own Bargain Hive, the whole business. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, if God allows us to, whether we stay there or move on, it will help pay all of our day-to-day expenses so that Village to Village and 100% of the donations that come in to help families will help families. Mm-hmm. It'll take us a couple years to get there, but that's kind of our, we want to be self-sufficient just like we want our families to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And for us, this is the way to do it. Our short-term goal is to raise $60,000 by the end of July, and that will pay off the business. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, the funds can just be moved towards families and towards international. Mm-hmm. We have a family in Moldova, which if you don't know where Moldova is, it's right next to Ukraine, right below Russia. But we have supported them for years. They have 15 young adults and they go to trade school so that they're able to get out of the poverty situation that they're in when you live in villages. And before the war, it cost them $200 a month to take care of these kids per person, and it has jumped to $400 a month just for housing and food for these kids. And so one of our goals is, can we get to the point that we're bringing in enough funds that we can specifically help a little more so that they can make it? And so God has huge doors for us that we can walk through. We've got to get the business paid off and get that up and running. Mm-hmm. But God has been very faithful, and we've had two sets of teams come in over the last month and just have gotten us up and running. And I know you guys are going to help us in yes. a couple weeks. And, you know, our neighbors, we've been meeting our new neighbors, and it's just been a huge blessing. And the fun thing is we are able to share Christ probably more now than we were before we moved, because it's more of a public setting. You get to have conversations on a regular basis. And so not only is the ministry growing, but we're able to impact everyday people that walk in. Yeah. And it's been a good thing.
Is there a place that you would like for us? There's something you'd really like for us to talk about?
No, I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, getting this $60,000. Which, I mean, that can happen anytime. That doesn't have to happen.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So, Heidi, you're wanting to raise $60,000, and you have a pretty short window. Mm-hmm. Do you have a plan for that, you know, because if there's people listening today, I don't want to jump across that because this is ministry, mm-hmm. and there may be people listening today that are touched by this, and this is ministry that is happening in our community with folks that are coming in and that are in need right in our community. And I think that a lot of people listening care about that. Mm-hmm. We love Village to Village and we love you all. And so how can people engage? What is the best way to help raise those funds? What's the avenues?
Well, first of all, if you know me, you know that fundraising is not my most favorite thing.
Same.
But because God has opened these doors and because I believe so much in the vision, I am okay with talking about it occasionally. Mm-hmm. So $60,000 is our goal to pay off the business. We've mm-hmm. got half of it taken care of. This other half, the family that sold it to us, were just the sweetest Mennonite family, God-fearing, and they gave us the freedom of let's take part of it now, let's take the rest of it after you get up and running. The reason it's so important for us to get that paid off is because as soon as it's paid off, we begin to do ministry more effectively. We haven't stopped doing ministry, but this will add another level to it. We've raised $10,000, so we're looking for $50,000. We have sent letters out to our normal donors. We are also talking to businesses, especially businesses that work with refugees, because we feel like they have a little bit more understanding of what the refugees need and maybe a willingness to support that because of that. But we are not going to dip into our donations because those donations go to families. And so this is very specific to our capital campaign to pay the business off so that we can move on to do ministry better. You know, the easiest way is to go to our website, villagetovillage.co, or hopeforvillages.org. You can go there and pay, but you can also send a check for Village to Village. We're still using our old address, which we'll be changing soon, but that is Post Office Box 25, Weirs Cave, Virginia, 24486. You can just look on our website. You can come in and visit us, and if you would like to just chat and have questions about things, we want the community to understand what we're doing. Shopping at Bargain Hive also helps. Every penny that you spend when you shop goes back into ministry, which for me is a win-win. So we will be having a grand opening. I think it's the second Saturday of July, but we would love to see people just come out and so we can have opportunities to chat with you. I think we're going to have some special sales going on specifically for the capital campaign, so that will help. The newest program we have is you can come in and get a list to shop for refugees and get 10% off, and then you leave those items there for us to put into the homes. So we're figuring out ways that people can be intentional, but the $60,000 is really our huge need right now. And I would honestly just ask you to pray about it. Not everything is everybody's heartbeat. Just because it's my heartbeat doesn't mean it's your heartbeat. But I would say that if this is something you would be willing to just pray about, I feel like God is going to open the floodgates and we're not going to have an issue raising that $60,000.
I think, too, it may seem like a large number, but when everybody does their part and whatever it is God lays on any person's heart, then it's his ministry, right? It's ministering to the people that he cares compassionately about. He cares compassionately about every one of us.
Right. And also, you know, when you were talking about not enjoying doing fundraising, I think about something my dad always said about the devil's work is fully funded. We want God's work to be fully funded too. And that's God's work. And so, you know, you can't do ministry for free. You need money to do ministry. And like you said, this will allow you all, you're still doing ministry, but this will take the burden of the business off so that more dollars can go to ministry. And I still think about how neat it is that before Bargain Hive, this was the old Gentry's Photography, and it's where Dad worked when he first moved here and came to the church under your dad's ministry. So
and if you all could see the pictures that we have found.
If
I had addresses, I would send them all out. It is a God thing. I mean, my daughter's name is Gentry, and it's just, you know, Mr. Gentry, it's his son, but he comes in often and just chats with us. And, you know, God put us in, we didn't think we were going to get that space, and it really took a couple months for God to open it up. But, you know, Mr. Gentry is amazing to work with. We have great neighbors all around, and people understand more of Village to Village since we made the move. And I am so appreciative for Doves and allowing us to have our warehouse there, but this has just kind of put us on that next step, and people understand more about what we do.
Heidi, we call this program Hope Talks, and I'm sure we've talked a lot about that, but what is giving you the most hope right now in what you all are doing and what's going on?
I think just realizing, and you, as a Christian, you know this, but I think as you watch God work the tiniest of details out, it helps me understand that I don't have to worry about tomorrow because God's got that taken care of. And, you know, there's a lot of things that can burden us, whether it's our children and concern about their lives, whatever it is. But I think when we truly know that God is in control, that gives us hope for the future. Right. And, you know, He is going to take care of it. And, you know, sometimes we fear what is the future going to hold because it doesn't always look good. But, you know, we work with a lot of Ukrainians. And if you don't have hope, you need to talk to a Ukrainian family. And yeah. you will have hope very quickly because they just believe that God is in it all. And so, yeah.
On that note, as I was helping caregive for my dad, there was a Ukrainian couple moved in next door. And she had lived here. And they had to make a decision when they got married where they would live, in the Ukraine or here. And so this was right before the war broke out. And they chose here. And they chose to live in the house next to my dad. So I got to know them. And through very broken English early on, was able to talk with him. And just thinking about the decision that they had to make and that God led them to make the decision to come here to live where she was at. And then, of course, from Molehill, where you can see the entire valley. And we were standing out there one day just talking about this. And he was like, I could be there, but instead I'm here in this beautiful place. And just, you know, took his hands and motioned towards the valley that we could see all the way to the mountains. And we have no idea what heaven only knows the impact that your ministry is making for those who have suffered so much. And that day, I really connected you and him in that conversation. They didn't come through that ministry, but they are a representation of people that have. So thank you for what you're doing.
It's a joy.
Well, in closing today, Heidi, I'm just going to say a prayer for you and for Village to Village and all those that you're ministering to.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for Heidi and for the ministry that she's doing through Village to Village and all those that are partnering with her, the Church World Services, all the other volunteers that she has, Lord. And we just pray for that ministry and for the refugee families that they're impacting in our community. It was neat how she said, used to, we went to these people, but now they're coming to us. And they're just as in much need. And we also know that she still is continuing the stuff overseas. So we pray into those ministries as well in your timing with all that, Lord. But just pray for that they're able to raise this $60,000 so that more money can continue to go into ministry and their ministry can increase, Lord. Their territory can increase. And I just pray a blessing over Heidi and her family, Lord, and ask all this in your name. Amen. Heidi, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Heidi Dove talk today, sharing her story and about the story of Village to Village, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.